just tuned in to Hey Julie at julieland.com. My name's Maria Menendez. I'm filling in for Miss Julie Ashton. We're going to have a conversation today with co-creator of julieland.com, Richard Avery, and esteemed director Michael Raven from Wicked Pictures, stepping in to talk to us today about his current projects, his upcoming projects, his past projects, and, you know, everything porno and on.
Exactly.
So, Richard, I know that you have a ton of questions for Mr. Raven.
Yes. Yes. I definitely do.
Well, let's start with the beginning. How did you end up in porn, Michael?
By sheer accident, actually. No, I actually, it's far back as the early 90s. I mean, I started off as a photographer, actually.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah.
And what that just kind of progressed. I was always a big porn fan, though. I mean, I remember when it was 1995. I watched a movie by Michael Ninn entitled Sex, and that was probably the first time. And then shortly after that, I actually saw an Andrew Blake film entitled, I think it was Night Trips. And then I remember watching those two movies and thinking, you know, I really like porn, and those are that's the first time I've ever seen. I mean, that's the way I think it should be done.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of started the whole thing. 2 years later, see, 95, 97, yeah, 97, made my first movie. We shot it in Dallas on borrowed money. Flew to Los Angeles, went to, who did we see? I saw Sin City, Wicked Pictures, actually. A lot of other companies. Finally, Sin City made an offer on the picture. And 2 weeks later, made an offer, said, would you like to direct for us full time? And I said, sure. And so I loaded up the truck and moved to Beverly. So been here since 1997. And don't plan on leaving anytime soon. But that's kind of like the short version of how I got into business. But it actually was an accident because I had never started out. And, you know, certainly when I was signing my my high school yearbook, I didn't, you know, I don't think I was voted most likely to become a porn director.
So. See, that's funny because I just saw my yearbook and I don't know, I don't remember doing this, but you know how you have your quote, like what you're going to be or, you know, your future?
Right.
I don't know why. I don't know what I was thinking. This is like, you know, 18 years old going, I want to be the next Bob Guccione. I don't remember saying that, but I was like, oh my God, what was I thinking? And now here I am doing porn.
There you are.
You know, people find porno and porno finds people.
Most definitely. Sooner or later, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And once it finds you, it never lets you go.
No, no.
There is no escape.
It's like getting sucked into a dark hole or a fabulous wet hole.
Either way, they're dark.
Yeah.
Either way, they're dark, yes.
The way I've always looked at it is with my partner in Julie of julieland.com was that I always felt that she was she's like the evil emperor, and I was Anakin Skywalker, and she found me and has turned me into Darth Vader, took me to the dark side.
Congratulations.
And I'm having fun. The dark side's pretty cool.
It's the most important thing.
And I got really beautiful girls in the dark side.
Yeah, you should have little to complain about.
No.
So you direct a lot. I'm an adult film critic, so I'm very familiar with your work. A film that actually made it to my, I guess my personal collection a long time ago, the permanent collection, is a movie called Erotic, spelled with a K, the movie. I remember it had an amazing scene with Manuel Ferrara and the Wicked Contract Girl at the time, Kehlani Lay. I'm not sure if you still with them. Do you remember, I remember what struck me about this movie is how visual it was, how beautiful visual. Like, what inspires you to create adult movies?
A lot of different things. It's funny, probably one of the biggest inspirations I have is music. I listen to sounds or songs, or it can be, I'm also a musician and composer, so I can sit down on the keyboard, I'll be playing some something I hear, you know, going over in my head, and it gives me an idea for a scene. That's weird. I don't know too many people that are inspired by sounds.
Do you do a lot of the music for your own movies?
At this point, I do it all. The latest movie, the one that just released, The Visitors, I scored the entire picture myself, with the exception of a song that's played at the end credit roll.
Do you do the sound design as well?
Mm-hmm. Sound design, Foley, everything.
Yeah. Awesome. ADR, the whole bit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you do basically an entire movie from pre-production to post-production, which is not kind of rare in directors of big movies like the ones that you create. You're known for, you know, features, epics. Right. So notably the Visitors. Did you always, in porno, did you always come at it with that attitude? the entire creative control attitude, or did you slowly ease into, okay, I'm a director now, but I'm going to learn to edit? Like, what made you take on all those roles?
I've been wearing all those hats from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Actually, the first picture I did out here in 97 was entitled Benedict in Flesh. What a crazy title. But I actually wrote it myself on cocktail napkins and shot most of it, actually. It was myself and a camera operator named JD. We shot camera together, and I edited the movie. Scored that one.
Would you consider yourself a control freak about it?
Absolutely.
Because my motto is always like, if I can do it, great. I'm going to just do it myself. I don't like to ask people to do something unless I can really count on them.
You know what? It's that, but it's also for me, I figure if I can't control it, why do it?
Yeah,
it's not worth the effort.
That
applies to all areas of my life.
Me too.
To be honest with you.
It's like that, especially when I think as a creator of art, in a sense, that's the joy, is the journey of creating, and it's not usually the end product. It's just the whole process that we love and we keeps us going. That's why when I feel like when I finish a project, that you're like, oh, okay, I need that next project. I'm done now. I need something else to move on to and keep that high going.
Oh, it's absolutely a drug. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm always, the problem I have though is a lot of times in post-production, my mind will start to wonder about, okay, what am I going to write next? And then I get distracted and have to bring it back home and get centered and finish the post-production. Yeah. But
has your desire to have complete control ever made you created combative situations with the companies you've worked for?
Not so much for the companies I worked for, but it certainly has in personal relationships. But that's fodder for another discussion. But as far as companies I worked, there have been companies that I've only really worked for two companies though, Sin City and Wicked Pictures. In both cases, they were very accommodating. I got a few no's based, I'll turn in scripts. Oh, we can't shoot that. We can't shoot this. And
does Wicked talk to you about the editorial? Do they kind of let you do it? And do they come in with notes and fix this, change that? Or do they kind of, after all these years, I would think they would kind of just trust you to...
Well, they do, actually, but a little bit of both. Yeah. Steve Ornstein is probably one of the, not only one of the most gracious men I know, but probably the easiest people to work for.
Yeah.
Because if he's hired you to do a job, and he'll say, I want you to do so many movies a year, he's going to let you make those movies. Now, obviously, he has a lot of say in what movies get made.
Right.
But that's where it pretty much begins and ends. He trusts you at that point then to make the movie.
Yeah.
That he's, as far as what he's read on paper in the script.
Yeah.
And trusts you to deliver your own vision.
Yeah.
He's not going to say, I don't like this look. Because there's been many cases, not so much my movies, but there have been other things. When he goes, I don't really like the way that looks, but he's not going to ask you to change it because that's the way you wanted it to look.
Right.
Or maybe something he wouldn't do himself or doesn't agree with.
Right.
But as long as it doesn't violate the wicked principles in the movies, then they're fine.
What are those principles?
Primarily it's just they. It's not that they don't like things that are dark, because obviously they've allowed me to do some dark stuff. I created Visitors, and then just recently I shot a movie entitled Supernatural. It's basically a ghost story.
Yeah.
Very creepy, very dark. But they've kind of cut me off, I guess, dark projects for the year.
The next one's a summer vacation movie.
I told you.
At the beach.
Look, I have a hard time with that because I just don't write fluffy, happy ending things. And not opposed to it, but it's not my reality. So, but anyway, and they're not nearly as fun to make.
I agree. I like the darker, the better.
Yeah.
The weirder, the better. The darker, the better.
Yeah.
It's kind of our motto for sub-motto.
And Wicked's not opposed to that. And there have been a lot of movies, like Byron Armstrong did a movie a couple of years ago, or a year ago, Eye of the Beholder. Pretty dark, crazy movie. It was a really good picture. Kehlani was in that movie as well. But what they like to do is kind of a balance. I mean, there's four directors right now. You've got myself, Brian Armstrong, Jonathan Morgan, and David Stanley.
Right.
And each of us have our own niche.
Very distinct style.
Yeah, yeah.
Very distinct.
I mean, David Stanley is a very unique storyteller. Of course, he's basically telling his own story over and over again from different perspectives. Nothing wrong with it. Seriously. But it's very fast. He's very fascinating director, very creative. But actually, very much a dark, brooding type person, and that it comes out in the movies that he makes, and even the comedies that he makes are somewhat dark.
Yeah.
Jonathan Morgan obviously is probably the king of comedy, the big budget comedy and adult. Brad Armstrong, there's not art direction is probably second to none. His period pieces and his epics that he makes, just visually stunning. I like to tell interesting stories.
Yeah.
So we each have our niche to fill, but what we try to strike a balance at Wicked. We don't want to have everything
homogenous.
Exactly. You know,
and variety.
Especially, you know, three movies in a row and they're all dark. Okay, you know, it's like mix it up a little bit. You know, if you want to shoot a dark movie, then hold it till next year or something like that.
Well, actually, speaking of dark, I want to talk about your new movie. Sorry to cut you off.
Before you do that, I got a couple of dumb technical questions. Now, just basic curiosity here is, number one, do you shoot your stuff? Do you, you know, physically operate camera and stuff like that? Do you?
Often, yeah. On the bigger projects, you know, I have a director of photography that I work with, Francois Clouseau. Phenomenal.
He's amazing. Really
phenomenal
great.
Phenomenal talent. But we work well together, and we've actually shot together as partners probably for 6 years.
Wow.
And we're in sync.
Yeah.
It's very odd because a lot of times, you know, I'll be on a wide shot and he'll have the close up. I'm on a close up and he'll be wide without us saying anything. It's almost like we're, you know, telepathic.
You don't wear those little headsets.
But not at all. But we work well together. He understands, you know, I can describe to him what it is I want and he knows how to deliver it.
Right.
But a lot of times we'll shoot camera together, but,
do you like operating camera?
I love operating camera. I love
big
being
HD things.
Yeah, absolutely.
With a background in photography, I'd imagine it'd be very hard for you not to operate a camera on a porno movie.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I want to be behind the camera, and a lot of times, you know, we'll do two camera shoots for the most part, and it's always me on the second camera.
Well, now that I just finished my first movie, I didn't operate. And I said I never would because I have everything I've ever directed I never operated on. But now after doing this first one, I said next time I'm operating because I was tough relying on somebody else who wasn't getting what I wanted. And I'd be looking at the monitor going, no, dude.
I'm going to tell you, Francois is the only – I've worked with 4 or 5 DPs.
Yeah.
And Francois is the only one I've ever worked with. And now it didn't take him but maybe 1 or 2 shows.
Yeah.
And he, when I say something to him, he knows exactly what I need, and he delivers, and he's phenomenal.
So what do you think about this whole HD thing?
The cameras are heavy.
Exactly.
I think it's a scam, honestly. Things look slightly better, but there is no such thing as an HD DVD. So you're getting slightly better picture, but it's not true HD.
In another 6 months.
I don't know about it being a scam, but it certainly is a pain in the ass.
Pain in the ass. Yeah.
And probably for me, from the post-production perspective, alliteration aside, it's created problems because... You know, I edit on an Avid system, and we've been standard definition for so many years, and now all of a sudden we're having to deliver high definition masters, and that's
the whole process.
That's a $1,000 upgrade, you know, and then there's a learning curve, and
I just spent an extra $10,000 just to upgrade my system, just to get up to HD, and that made me really mad because it was like, great, this isn't coming out of their pockets, out of my pocket.
I just made that move actually last month.
Yeah.
Up to this point, I've been actually, I'll cut it in HD and save it, you know, get EDL and send it someone else to output. But I decided, you know what, I'm going to keep it all to myself.
So. And then you do all the, and you were saying you do all the music, the sound design, you do everything that to make it the way you want.
I'll spend probably just as much time on the audio that I will actually cutting the picture.
It's funny. That's why I told everybody. I said the audio to me. It's as important as the visuals. I don't think it's like one's more important than the other. I think it's just equally as important.
As a reviewer, I really care about the sounds that I'm listening to. I really care. I want to make sure that I can hear enough of the sex, but also, you know, being able to use music in a way that's effective for the picture and effective for the viewer, but not overpower the sex scene. So you're not aware of it. So it weaves in and out.
Exactly.
And having music that's not really cheesy, stupid.
You know what? That was one of my goals from the very beginning. You asked, you know, about getting in the business, and I remember one of my biggest complaints always was the cheesy, you know, bow chicka bow bow, and it's you joke about it, but oh yes, and then
bad
the hard driving
rock and roll.
The
LA cock rock.
Yeah, and you know, Michael Ninn did really well with those first couple of movies that came out. I thought,
Sax Latex,
that's great music. Mm-hmm. You know, so it was always like. I think my first few pictures, even if the movies weren't, I mean, because I learned a lot. I made a lot of mistakes in the beginning, but I think the music was always good.
I just want to remind you guys that you are listening to Hey Julie at julieland.com. You're listening to a conversation with myself, Maria Menendez, Richard Avery, co-creator of julieland.com, and Michael Raven, director for Wicked Pictures. I don't know. At this point, can we talk about The Visitors?
Yeah, let's talk about The Visitors.
Let's talk about The Visitors, because that is your... Your big release that just came out. I remember I actually got two press packages for this. I get, like, maybe about 3 months ago, I got like this big old packet that had like a pen and the, just the trailer. And I'm like, oh, right. Did they actually send me a pre-copy of a trailer for a porno movie? I was slightly offended. And then I got the press package with the actual movie in it. It had like a dossier file, confidential file. Had The Visitors, obviously, is like a sci-fi porno movie. For those of you who haven't seen it yet, you should definitely go check it out. The whole concept, maybe you can tell us more about the concept, about what this movie is about and why it's such a big deal.
And my curious is, what's the inspiration for it? Like, what's inspired you to do this? Because all the reviews, everything I've read, I'm like basically going to run out and go get it because I just like, it sounds really cool. It's like,
well, you know, in short, The Visitors is basically about alien abductions. That's the visitors are aliens that are abducting and studying and
are they all sexy and hot?
you don't see the aliens.
Oh, you don't.
Briefly, you see shadows and you see shapes moving across right to left across screen, but you never really see the aliens themselves.
I thought it was amazing.
Moment, so.
I thought it was really amazing in the way because it's aliens are never really sexy unless you're reading bad sci-fi. But I grew up on the X-Files, and it was these girls are being abducted and they're being erotically examined, and it was such a, like, for those people that are a fan of like medical fetishists, you know, like, it was really sexy and bizarre, and I really liked that.
Well, that's actually a common theme in most of the abduction stories that you hear, the alien abduction or UFO abductions, is always, they're always sexual in nature or some sort of sexual aspect of the abduction itself. So, but you asked me what was the inspiration for the movie. And actually, originally, the script was entitled The Shadow People because it was based on experiences that I had as a kid. I used to see what I thought were aliens in my room, swear to God. Little short guys, and they would just stand down at the foot of my bed, look at me, and they'd whisper.
That's so scary.
Do you think it was just light reflecting, causing a shadow of your G.I. Joes against them? That
it may have been. I'm not telling you. I can't tell you.
Did you ever notice the shadows having a kung fu grip?
No kung fu grip. No. Although I did have a G.I. Joe with kung fu grip. But that's actually where as I grew up and then started learning about UFOs and alien abductions, I thought, well, maybe it was an attempted alien abduction. Maybe I really have been abducted and probed. I don't know. I sometimes feel like I'm being probed.
Yeah.
But that's where the inspiration came from. And so I titled it Shadow People, and I still have a script, Shadow People. It's a little bit different from what we actually shot.
Yeah.
That I like to shoot. I like to shoot a film and end up trying to get it sold to somebody like Lionsgate or something because it's a great story, great concept, and I'd like the opportunity to shoot it again.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's like, you know, when you come, what. I want to know is, like, when you take this script for The Visitors and you go to Steve or whoever you have to get approval from, and what is their reaction when they get a script like that? That it's something it's something different, which is great because I'm all for being different.
Here's what happened with The Visitors. I turned the script in. I said, look, this is probably unlike anything you've read, and it's been submitted to you to shoot. I said, well, I want you to take a look at it with an open mind. So about 2 weeks later, I get an email. He said, why don't you come in and let's talk about it? Now, it never happens. It never says, come in, let's talk about the script. So I knew, okay, he wants to have a talk about the script. Because for one thing, I was asking for several days to shoot it, and the budget wasn't big. I mean, I've had budgets twice that size from Wicked. But he wanted to talk about some of the content because there was a couple of scenes where some of the kids were smoking pot. There was the whole alien abduction thing. There was wanted to make sure that nothing was happening against their will. So there are a lot of things I had to kind of tweak to make it, I should say, Wicked friendly. So we had a nice hour-long meeting about that. And he said, you know what, it's very unique. Let's go with it. And I think now he's glad he did.
Yeah. Got to be good.
I liked how that movie starred Kimberly Kane, but Carrie Sable was on the box cover.
It's
marketing.
Yeah, absolutely. Kimberly was the star of the movie. Absolutely.
She did an amazing job.
Not to take anything away from Carrie. I think Carrie did a tremendous job.
I think the casting was amazing.
But Carrie I'm sorry, but Kimberly obviously was the focus. She mm-hmm. she was the star.
She's so
all the girls. Avina Lee did a really good job mm-hmm. In her part. In fact, I don't think anybody. There wasn't really a weak link.
Well, the reviews I read last night all just raved about the performances.
Yeah,
yeah, it's
all
amazing.
It's all the reviews talked about was the performances. The performance of all the talent.
You know, we met a few times before we ever picked up a camera. I met with the cast. We read through the script many times. We worked on key scenes. Worked on delivery. And I said, the best advice I can give you is I don't want you to act and be someone else. I said, you guys were hired and cast in these parts because that's who the characters are. I just want you to be yourselves and express yourselves. And so we worked on that, and I think it paid off.
Yeah.
I've never heard of anyone doing a reading for porno.
neither did I.
Yeah, that's amazing. I
learned my lessons, for shooting as long as I have, I always hope, like for my movie, I prepped like 2 months ahead before I even rolled the first take. Like I had so many meetings with Justine about, it was like every week we were sitting out talking about everything, stuff that didn't matter, but it just mattered to me just right. to get her in the right headspace and Baxter, because I had no dialogue in my movie. There's like none.
There is a sequel in the works, by the way.
That was my next question. Like, yeah. So there's gotta be a sequel in the works, right?
Yeah, they had a very open ending. I liked that. I really enjoyed
it. You like the ending? The
I
whole
did like the
thing?
Ending, yes, yeah. With the newspaper. Yeah, it was, I liked, well, actually there's a couple of things that I really enjoyed about this movie. I just reviewed it last week or the week before, so it's very fresh in my mind. So there's a couple of things I noticed. A, the menus were amazing. The entire movie was put together. You could see, it could be movie of the week on the Sci-Fi Channel. Like I'd totally buy it as you know, that level of quality, which is rare from porno. And I also like that in the sex scenes that it wasn't like, oh, we're taking a time from the porno to have sex. It's like people are having sex throughout the story and it makes sense. And it was, I like the condom use because, you know, it's a bunch of young kids out in the woods, you know, dealing with like aliens. And they're actually like taking condoms out, putting them on each other and having great sex. And then it was like, I really enjoyed that. How it just everything just kind of fit together. It wasn't like. Because I find the problem with like big features is that a lot of times it's like, oh, we're making this big movie, but we got to cram, you know, sex in there somewhere. Yeah. Like the flow. It's very
important.
Wait,
it's time for a sex scene. And then all of a sudden the cheesy music starts. And next thing, you know, somebody not related to the story or it's a dream sequence. You
yes.
know, it's like, no, I totally hear you because that's one thing I try to do with visitors is I wanted the sex scenes to make sense. Mm-hmm. That there was a reason. And so in doing so, I think. We try to develop these characters to where they were believable and people could identify with them. So it was when these people were having sex, you understood why they were having sex. And I actually think it made the scenes better. And there was no acrobatics in it. There was no really outrageously sexual, you know, activities going on. But I think there was some good heat between the kids that were having sex. So,
like doing my first movie, going back to that, it was like the biggest thing when I was talking to Andrew Blake about advice, my whole thing was like, I just wanted stuff to be as real as possible. And I think the problem with a lot of porn these days, everything's just so fake and so badly done. And it's nice. I always say, like, just have some honesty. If you know, if I tried to put together people, girls who wanted each other and then let them go and not mm-hmm. get in their way. And like you're saying, like taking that to the movies, like getting people that the reason they're having sex, why they're having sex, and they're having sex, but they're like having fun doing it. It's not like this an out of
porno
nowhere.
Logic is what I like to call
it. Yeah, and then it's also an out of nowhere.
You're broken my house and I'm gonna blow you. Like, yeah,
and then all of a sudden an out of
sounds like a dream I had.
Exactly, you know.
But it's that thing out of nowhere. All of a sudden, some crazy thing appears in the, you know, bondage table, and it just happens to be here. And it's like instead of supposed to be as real as possible, I think what little porn I look at, I always say, I just want it to be as honest and as real as possible. I want to make sure that people are...
No, exactly. It's what Maria mentioned about the condom usage. Yeah. Exactly. Obviously, with Wicked being a condom mandatory company, I can't get around that. So I thought, you know, what bothers me to no end is all of a sudden condoms magically
exactly.
appear.
It drives me up the wall. I mean, so I don't mind seeing condoms in porno. I mean, like, in my personal life, obviously, you know, like, we use condoms. In this day and age, people who have sex wear condoms. And I really like that it wasn't like magical porno condom. Mm-hmm. It was like, hi, we're young kids. We're out in the woods. We're going to screw. Yeah, of course we're going to wear a condom, you know?
It's funny because when we were shooting the scene between Avina Lee and Eric Masterson in that old train, mm-hmm. and he gets the condom and he's trying to open the package and then he can't open it. She gives the thing and she drops the condom.
Uh-huh.
And she goes, and she looks at the camera and she goes, oh, I'm sorry. I dropped it. I go, no, that was beautiful.
Yeah.
She goes, but don't you want me to, you know, open it smoothly. I go, I want you to open it the way you would open it and let happen whatever happens. Yeah. Let it happen.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that's natural. If you to drop it and pick it back up and fumble with it and look clumsy, She goes, oh, okay.
And it's like, that's why it's funny when I shoot porn stars for the website. I always try to get them to stop being porn stars. It's the first thing I tell them, stop being a porn star. Cut out the oohs and ahs. It's bullshit. It's not real. Yeah. Sex to me is about confidence. It's about maturity, and it's about just being who you are. And then they get all like, oh, really? What's that? You have to like break them up their ways.
Confidence, maturity?
I also think it's never being afraid to make yourself look like a fool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's beautiful.
You know? Yeah. So. I just like, where's the honesty? I just want honesty. As real as it can be under the circumstances with a couple cameras around you.
I think you're the only two people in porn that I've ever talked to who wants honesty in their pornography. On my radio show, a common theme is porno's all lies, which it is.
I guess it is pretty sick.
Yeah, I've seen enough two people who are like, about honesty in their pornography.
I just want to cuddle. Why do they never show cuddling at the end of the movies?
Yeah. Well, the painful honesty, I guess we're both closet masochists.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's not go there. That's not group therapy.
No group therapy. All right. So, Michael, what's your next project?
What's next?
Big thing that you're excited about?
I have a project coming out that we shoot September of this year with Jessica Drake. It's a movie entitled Delilah. And it's basically a contemporary adaptation of an old biblical story.
Yeah.
Samson and Delilah. Where our Delilah, our modern day Delilah, is a hairdresser who happens to be whacked out of her gourd.
You didn't get Victor Mature to play Samson, did you?
I love that movie.
It's a great movie. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Isn't that Hedy Lamarr?
No. Wait. They played Delilah?
Yeah.
You know, the other female lead, though, was, oh my God, she played Murder, She Wrote. What's her name? Lansbury.
Oh, yeah, Angela Lansbury. Yeah, yeah, totally.
She was so beautiful.
Yeah,
oh, God.
She was stunning.
Did you ever see Angela Lansbury, though, in Blue Hawaii playing Elvis's mom?
Shut up. Really?
Yeah.
I did not know
the
that.
The best, my favorite Elvis movie.
I love Elvis movies. Too, don't get me started on Elvis
movies. All right, back to porno. This is Hey Julie. Come on.
Okay.
We got to focus.
Let's talk about Elvis.
All right.
I love Elvis. Okay, moving on. You're doing a movie about a crazy hairdresser, which is so real. Never known a hairdresser that isn't crazy. It's the changing hair color, you know.
It should be a lot of fun. You know, somebody once told me, what is it about you and fairy tales and Bible stories? Because a lot of my, or myths, because a lot of my movies, you know, movies I did years ago, Watchers was based on a verse in the Bible, Genesis 6. fallen angels mating with human women. So I thought that was pretty unique. So
yeah.
Did you have go to church as a kid or something?
Oh, you have no idea.
Yeah. See, I went to Catholic school to fifth grade.
I was raised in an evangelical Christian.
Oh, wow.
That explains everything.
extreme religious right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically you're going to hell.
Or you're going to end up working in porno.
Well, I always say if you are, whoever gets there first, just save a seat.
Yes.
Yeah. Actually, I am.
Oh, that's right, the valley. Yeah. That's pretty much hell.
It's like, 97 today?
Yeah. Wow.
Okay, so you're doing this new story. It's about a hairdresser in Samson and Delilah.
Samson and Delilah. That's actually going to be fun. Jessica, I think this is the first time she's played... let's put it this way. She's going to get a chance to spread her wings acting-wise.
I have a question about talent. Do you pick your talent, who you want to star in your movies? I know you have the Wicked Girls, but do you have 100% saying that? Do they come in and say, hey, we want you to work with Jessica? We want, because she hasn't done anything in a while. Or do you get to, how much?
The short answer is yes. I mean, we pick whoever we want.
Right.
For example, I gave Jessica the script and I said, what do you think of this? I think you're for the lead. And she goes, oh, for sure. I think it's great. I want to do it.
Yeah.
But then Steve Ornstein will make suggestions. He'll say, I'd like to see something written for one of the other girls.
Oh, okay.
And then if you've got anything, or keep her in mind or something like that. But it's pretty much if the girls like the movie, then they want to do it, then it's their movie.
You know, it sounds like you have a really great job for a great company, for a great owner.
It's a great company and a great owner.
I think it's one of the best.
Like I said, you give up one thing to get another. There was certainly, content-wise, I'd like to be doing some other things. I'm very happy and content to be where I am.
Yeah, so no, I just, I'm
jealous. Makes it worth it.
I'm jealous. It
makes it
like
worthwhile.
Yeah.
So you talked about how, Michael?
Beyond Delilah, I do have a couple other projects in the works. I've got a project entitled Sanctuary. The theme is it's another science fiction about cloning.
Wow.
So that should be fun.
I like the title, Sanctuary.
Yeah, and then I have a sequel to Visitors in the works.
Wow.
I have no idea what it's going to be called, but I'm about...
going through the sci-fi stage.
Yeah, I'm about a third of the way through this with the script right now. So.
Well, I think that's... I mean, that's such a great genre to go in, because I think with sci-fi, you can really create and do imagination.
Sci-fi is you can create a universe. You're not held by, you know, earthly confines, logical confines, because it is sci-fi. It can be anything.
Yeah. Well, there's a movie coming out with Kirsten Price, Supernatural, which should be released probably sometime early next year. Very scary movie.
Really? Yeah. So where can we find your other...
Scary and sexy.
We can buy all your stuff from Wicked Pictures, of course, which you can find at any number of retailers. Do you have a website?
I don't have a website, but Wicked Pictures or AdultDVDEmpire.com.
Why don't you have a website?
I don't know. I own the domain, but it automatically redirects to Wicked Pictures.
You should sit down and make one.
I should.
Just
in
so
my
can...
spare time.
Well, yeah. Look, there's 24 hours in a day, I always say, so there's, you know... Got plenty of time throughout the day.
All right. Well, we've had such a great time talking to Richard Avery, co-creator of JulieLand.com. Michael Raven, who thank you so much for coming in. Wicked director. My name's Maria Menendez. You can find me on Playboy Radio. And I just want to thank you for listening to Hey Julie at JulieLand.com. What more can you ask for?